Great morning, great morning. So this particular message is a continuation of this series I wanted to do as we start a new year about seeking God. Boy, if there was ever a time that we need to look for God, seek for God, ask for God, and try to get him on our side, for us to feel more like he's on our side, this is the time. And it's not going to just happen. Last week we talked about seeking God through obedience. When you are obedient to God, you draw closer to God. Jesus says, if you love me, you will obey my commands. So being obedient to God is one way to seek God. Because the more you obey his laws and commandments and guidance and all those things, the more you become like him, which is the best way to be near him. So, but that's just one way. Seeking through obedience. But now we're going to talk about seeking through prayer. Now, you know we talk a lot about prayer around here. And I am a firm believer in the power of prayer. And but you know, we talk about it on Sunday morning. So we're going to talk about it a little bit more depth today. And my goal this morning is very simple. Very simple. It's not to persuade you that you ought to pray. It's not to convince you that prayer is a good thing. You know the old saying, preaching to the choir? No. What I want to do is motivate all of us, including me, to actually do it. So if you leave today and you agree with everything that's said and you remark on what a wonderful, inspiring message it was on the way home and then you don't pray, then we failed. I want to encourage us to pray not just once or twice, but as a regular part of our lives. When the subject of prayer comes up, though, sometimes we agree wholeheartedly, prayer, yeah, good thing. However, often we simply don't do it. So here's a question. If God knows everything, he knows what we need, and he loves to meet our needs, then why does he require us to pray? This is an important concept because this comes up a lot. If God knows everything and he's ever present, which we talk about all the time, why does he require us to pray? He could just bless us without any action on our part, right? He's God. In fact, he does bless you every day. Every single day, you are blessed. That's why when we do the prayer cards, we always start with praises. It's really important for us, even in the midst of our trials and tribulations, to look for the blessings of God. Because if we don't, it's just too easy to get caught up in all the negative stuff. And we can lose sight. Because a lot of the blessings are small, incremental, ongoing things that we can very easily lose track of. If you have kids at home, you get up in the morning and the kids are running around making a lot of noise and, you know, you got to get them off to school. Or the grandkids come over to spend the day and they're running around, they're moving your pillows around where they shouldn't be. But at the end of the day, isn't it a blessing to have those kids around you? So you got to look at the blessings. So he requires us to pray because prayer is right to the heart of what it's all about in seeking God. It's the primary purpose of prayer is not about getting stuff from God. God is not the universal vending machine. Put in prayer, get out stuff. And if we get too far down that road, we're going to be disappointed most of the time because it doesn't actually work like that. So if God blesses us every day, but he wants us to pray anyway, well, what's the deal? Here's the answer. Prayer builds faith. Prayer builds faith. When you pray and you pray and you pray and you see something positive happen in your life or the lives of somebody else, you begin to get a sense of God's hand in your life. But you got to pray. While we know that the key to getting a yes answer, of course, is pray in accordance with his will. We know that. We've heard that. Well, how do you know God's will? And how do you approach him with humility and respect? Today we're going to review the structure and content of Paul's prayer to the Ephesians one step at a time. If you have your Bibles there, here or at home, open it up to Ephesians chapter 3. Now, as you're getting to Ephesians chapter 3, we'll be starting at verse 14. I need you to understand something. In the original documents, they didn't have all of these headings and verse numbers and paragraph breaks and all that. In these original languages, this was all just one continuous ongoing thing. So sometimes, to help us read, we have all these paragraphs and things in there. Sometimes we can lose sight of something. So we're first going to go all the way through this text, and then we'll go back and look at it one verse at a time, because I want you to see that what I'm going to read now is all one prayer. This is Paul praying to and over the Ephesians. But before we do that, and speaking of prayer, I've told you this many times, and before you go to the Word of God, you need to pray. You need to pray that God will open your heart and your mind to what it is you are about to read. So let's do that. Heavenly Father, we know that you have asked us to pray. We are prayer warriors in this church. But like faith, we always can increase our dependence on prayer. So as we go to this text and we listen to Paul pray over his church people, we pray, Father, that you will show us an image of what prayer really looks like. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So Ephesians chapter 3, remember this is all one prayer. So here's Paul, and he says this. For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Whew. That's a prayer. That's a prayer. And all of the things that he put in the prayer, we're going to look at them verse by verse here, but all of the things that he put in the prayer ends with amen. And if you haven't heard me talk about this before, that word is something we need to pay attention to. We get to the end of the Lord's Prayer, and we say amen. We get to the end of the doxology, and we say amen. Not to be political, but there's no such thing as ah, women. Sorry. Amen. It means, may it be so. What it means is, what I just said, I want that to be true. So everything that Paul just said, he ends by saying to God, this is what I'd like, God. So when you pray and you end with amen, remember you're asking God that whatever